Now we'll read from the Bible. Today's passage is Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3. Once again, Revelation verses chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Please allow me to pray. Dear beloved Jesus, in the midst of a world that's faltering in darkness now, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be able to receive a message from the book of Revelation today. We ask, Lord, that you enable us to be able to understand it and to believe it and not falter in our faith. Please, Lord, strengthen our faith. And through this message, Lord, allow us to be able to have a stronger conviction that we're getting closer toward you. May the Holy Spirit really work in each and every person's heart here today. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with gratitude. Amen. Good morning. We're almost toward the end of March, aren't we? And in Japan, March is a season where many people say goodbye to each other. There's many goodbye parties for people. And in March, it's also the season for graduations. At graduations, since long ago, there are specific songs, two in particular, that are usually sung. One is there are two different songs, and I believe they don't have English translations. And there's also newer songs that are sung as well, but usually these two are sung as they're quite popular. So the first song I was referring to is a song that's actually sung to teachers. And so it's a play on words about it's like if you change the pronunciation, it sounds like you're like singing about sweets or something. And Osumi Sensei prefers Koshian, just so you know. Anyway. And this other song, Hotaru no Hikari, is also a song that people sing when they're leaving each other. It's not often sung at an opening entrance ceremony, but rather entrancing. It's often also sung or played at the end of like a pachinko parlor, like closing for the day. So this Hotaru no Hikari song, the original song actually, is actually a Scottish traditional song. And if you look at the original title of this song, it's called Olang Sign. Sorry, my English pronunciation is not correct. Old Long Silence in English, perhaps. The content of this song is that friends who have known each other for a really long time are giving thanks to each other for this long friendship they've had. And so it's like they're celebrating with alcohol, and all of a sudden we're singing this song to say goodbye to people at a graduation. And so it's kind of an interesting song if you really think about it. But these kind of things are, you know, just what happens in life. There's some things you do, and then after time, it loses its meaning or changes its meaning, sometimes becomes the exact opposite. Talking about the Bible, you know, most of you are pretty familiar with it, but if there's somebody who has never read it before, especially a Japanese person, if you ask them what kind of book they think the Bible is and what kind of image do you have of the Bible, they'd be like, it sounds kind of difficult. I don't know. And he's like, well, even if I tried reading it, I probably wouldn't understand it. So the Japanese people in general, this like difficult image of the Bible. Today, we're going to be starting to go through the book of Revelation. And even amongst Christians, Revelation is actually one of the more difficult books to understand. You know, some people say, like, I tried to start reading it and I gave up partway through, or like, I read it, but I totally was confused. And so there's a lot of people are just confused, just want to give up and don't even read it in the first place. They're just like, well, we'll skip that one and move on. So there's some Christians who, yeah, just don't have a good understanding of it. But actually, the opposite is true, because Revelation and the message of it is pretty simple and pretty easy to understand. And the people who read it can be actually encouraged and be given hope when they read it. However, there are some aspects to it that can make it quite difficult to understand. One of the main points is that it uses a lot of symbolism. And there's just a lot of words that come through like that. For example, I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. What do you think of that? Can you get it? So there's like 2 horns and there's like 7 heads, and you're like wondering what kind of marine organism could this be? And you're like, that wasn't in my encyclopedia. But it's just a symbol of some actual event that took place. And so in Revelation, there's a lot of different symbolism things. And there's actually a lot of explanation in the book about it. And so if you don't read that part, then you'll be really confused about what these symbols actually are and what they mean. And if there's no explanation in Revelation on a specific item, then you can look back in the Bible and other books to find something related. So basically, the Bible can be understood by reading the Bible. As for the symbols, there is somewhere in the Bible an explanation about it. But if you just ignore that aspect, of course it's going to be difficult to understand. The second reason why it's difficult to understand is that some people just really don't understand the Bible in its entirety. The book of Revelation is the one that's in the last, it's the last book of your Bible. But originally, the Bible was not really one book together. It was 66 books that were put together. So originally, it was just 66 different books. And it was the last one. And it's kind of like a summary of the Bible. In other words, Revelation has a summary of the 65 books that were put prior to it. So if you don't read or you don't understand the first 65 books and you try to read the last one, of course it's going to be difficult to understand. However, most of you have some understanding of the Bible, and so it's likely it shouldn't be too difficult for you to understand. And another reason why Revelation is difficult to understand is that some people read it with flawed doctrine. And in that way, it can be quite confusing. So false theology, you know, one is replacement theology. Replacement theology is one type of false theology. And, for example, in the Bible, it mentions Israel, and it can be replaced sometimes with the church. The Bible explains from the start that God's blessing is upon Israel. And through Israel, the entire world, people of the world, would be blessed. And that's mentioned numerous times. However, in the 2,000 years of Christianity, well, actually, it started with Jesus Christ, and exactly on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus gathered together, and when they were worshiping, the Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's how the church started. So in this year, this history of 2,000 years of Christianity, the country of Israel actually only existed for a short time because they lost their country for about 80, and for several hundred years, it just didn't exist. And finally, in the 20th century, midway, it finally was reinstated. So in the history, 2,000 years of Christianity history, the country of Israel barely has existed at all. And there's many theologists who have had their work in times when Israel didn't even exist. So they understood the meaning of Israel to be understood by the meaning of the church. So because of a false theology, Revelation can be quite confusing. The Bible is best understood to just read it as it is. And so if it says Israel, it means Israel. If it says church, it means church. And if it says 1,000, then it means 1,000. And if it means 144,000, then that means 144,000. So you just read it as it is. So false theology is something that you need to be very careful of when you're reading the Bible, especially for the book of Revelation, because then it really isn't so difficult. If you realize it is the last book in the Bible, then it wouldn't be the case that it would be so confusing that nobody would want to read it. In order to understand Revelation, you have to really understand the base points. Revelation is something which was written by John, and he wrote it out. And this was around the end of the first century, so AD 60. And John received this message from God, and he sent it to the Christians and churches at that time. The churches who received it were people in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, and there were seven churches there, and they're the ones who received this message. At that time, actually, it's a time when the Christians were undergoing persecution, and it was the time of the reign of Domitianus, and he was one who had implemented a lot of persecution. And so, like, almost every day there were people who were being killed for their faith and martyred. People were concerned that the church would just fall apart and come to an end in their era. And they thought that people who believed in Jesus would all just die during that time. In those circumstances, that's when the letter from John was sent to these churches. And the people who received it were excited to receive a letter from John, and they wouldn't have been like, oh, we have no understanding what this means, and this is so confusing, so why did you send it to us? That wouldn't have been the case. Actually, the people in that time, when they read Revelation, they were like, oh, now I get it. Yeah, this makes sense. And they're like, God is with us, and he is overseeing all it and reigning over all history, and he has victory in the end. And so actually it provided them with encouragement and hope as well. The church in that day was not full of intellects like all of you here today. There were other people who just were just like general public. And even those people were able to understand this book. So it's not that difficult. If you think it's difficult, just remove that perspective from your mind. Let's look at the content of it just a bit. In verse 1, it says, "The Revelation from Jesus Christ." And this is actually the official title of the book. In your Bible, it has a different title because that in second century, studious people decided to change it. But actually, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's something that God has given to people, not something that John just came up with. And so the word revelation actually was originally in Greek, and it was apocalypse. if you say it like really quickly, and then you can make it sound better. But anyway, it means removing a veil and showing what is underneath, or clarifying something that was hidden until now. In other words, something that's been just hidden for a long time is being revealed, and it's just showing what's inside. So up until this time, God's plan was covered in a veil, in a sense, and everyone was kind of clueless as to what God's final plan was. However, in taking off the veil, that allowed people to understand, have a better understanding of what God's final plan was. It's likely you've seen a specific Japanese TV program. If there's a statue, you put a veil over and then you don't know what's under it, and then you do this like unveiling ceremony and you can see what it is. So maybe you're familiar with things like that. And most people who go to an unveiling ceremony would have no clue as to what the statue would be. And when the ceremony starts, then they cut the tape or whatever, and they, you know, remove the veil from the statue. And then everybody for the first time knows, like, what it is. And then you, like, look at it, and you're like, wow. And so it's just a revealing of what something that was already there. In the same way, God is talking about his plan for the end of the world and how it had a veil placed over his plan for many years and how it was being revealed, and that's exactly what is told in Revelation. When you read Revelation, you can understand what's going to happen toward the end of God's plan for the world. That's one of the purposes of this book. This book God spoke to angels, and angels spoke to John, and then that's recorded in the book. Revelation mainly tries to reveal information about two things. The first thing is about Jesus Christ. Revelation tells about the character of Jesus Christ and just who Jesus Christ is. Of course, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ, his image and person is comes about then and explained then. And he's our salvation. He's our Savior. And he is the healer. And he's really nice. And he's, you know, easy to know. And that's just how he's portrayed mainly in the Gospels. However, that's just one attribute of Jesus. There's another attribute of him. And that's not the attribute of love, rather, but of being righteous. And that's our judge. So against evil, he's never going to be in favor of evil. In the end, there will for sure be judgment. And this is very harsh, and it's a very difficult. So that's what's explained here in Revelation. Those people who are being persecuted at that time were more confident than that Jesus would be their Savior. Not only that, but also their judge, and that in the end all would work out in their favor because he won. He has the victory. They realized they could stand strong in their faith because of that, and were be given hope and encouragement because of it. Jesus' attributes of love and righteousness could be seen both together in the book of Revelation. So that's one thing you need to keep in mind when we're reading this. The second point is about what is to happen immediately. And here it's talking about immediately or soon, but these are things that haven't occurred yet, but they're definitely going to. Not yet, but 100%, you know, prophecy, like they're definitely going to happen. And so God wants us to know about them. And because of that, it's written in Revelation. If something's written, because God wants us to know about it. So Revelation is a book that it tells about things about God's heart and what he wants us to understand. And it's written in a way that should be easy for us to understand, right? It doesn't make sense that it would be something that's just too confusing for us to understand. So what is to happen? it hasn't happened, but it will happen. These are things that in the book of Revelation are written. And around the end of the first century, in around 96. So these would have been things in the year 96 and thereafter. However, if you read the content that's written there, the content is actually things that we even haven't experienced yet. Some of them. So some of these things are still to come, things that will happen at the end of the world. And what is written? It's written about God's plan and His goal. He's going to revive and restore this entire world. If you look at Genesis verse 1, it tells how God created the entire world. It also tells how God's created world and what He thought of it. He was like, well, it's probably good enough. You know, it's okay. No, He didn't say that. He said it was really good. It was perfect. And this is what Creator God created. And so there shouldn't be any problems with it. You know, He's perfect. But you can see how it's just a disaster now because of human sin and the work of the devil. Around you can just know that there's just problems everywhere. Problems in the families, problems in the society. There's no countries that don't have any problems. There's problems with global warming and natural disasters and nature destruction, and all of it is, this world has just been destroyed by human sin and the devil's work. However, God wants to restore and revive this world. And that's what's written here in the book of Revelation. We're living in the 21st century, but do you know when the 21st century started? Did it start in 2000? No, it started in 2001. That's the start of the 21st century. In the year of the start of the 21st century, in the U.S., a terrible incident happened. That was on September 11th in New York. The Trade Center, the Twin Towers of the Trade Center were destroyed by airplanes. It was conducted by the Islamic terrorist group by the name of Al-Qaeda. And they hit the Pentagon, and also the White House, or was planning to hit the White House. However, the customer or the patrons of the plane were able to fight with the pilot and the terrorists and have it crash elsewhere. It's likely you would have seen this on the news numerous times, the 110-story building that came down. The airplane fuel just burned. It's kerosene, and it burns at a very high temperature. And so, because of that, the iron structure just like melted and it just fell straight down. And of course, the lower stories couldn't take that weight, and so it just went straight down all the way to the bottom. It's just kind of like somebody just going from a standing position to kneeling. At that time, there were five other buildings surrounding that were also broken down because of that. At that time, 2,763 people died. There were, of those, 23 were Japanese. So these two towers were designed to have about several 50,000 people working there, and they had about 20,000 visitors. There were 77,000 toilets alone. So actually, the person who designed those buildings was of Japanese descent, Minoru Yamazaki. And just a matter of hours, they all had this buckling effect and just were crushed. But the U.S. Reconstructed them in 2004, and they've actually created much bigger, stronger buildings, and its height is 541 meters. It seems kind of a strange number, kind of odd number, right? But if you put it into feet, it's 1,776 feet. And do you know what that means? Do you know what year that was in America? It was Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. And that's why they made it that height. In other words, the U.S. was saying that they were just not going to put up with such terrorism, and they're going to make something that was just even better than what was there before. And they had confidence to overcome terrorism, and they were just trying to make that appeal to the world. So if humans have that desire, wouldn't you think that God would do something just even greater for eternity? You know, here's, you know, this world that the devil has destroyed. Don't you think God would want to make something even better than what it was to start with? So what kind of world is it that God wants to create? Well, it's written in Revelation, and it states that there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That's the kind of world that God is going to recreate. So this world that the devil has just made a mess of is going to be something that is just even better than what it was before. And that's something just amazing about God. And that's what's revealed to us in Revelation. It's not just something to give us hope, but it clearly says what God's plan is and his blueprints for it. And in the first verse here, it says soon, but it's already been 2,000 years, right? So you think this isn't really soon, and you think God's a liar. But actually, this word soon is something that is related to time, but not the way we usually think, because it means something quickly after something starts going, or immediately when the time comes. So I was just talking about the Trade Center and how it broke down in 2001. And, you know, the U.S. could have restructured the whole thing in just a year if they wanted to. However, they spent 13 years doing so. The reason why is that they wanted to take the feelings of the bereaved families into consideration. There were a lot of people that died in this incident, and so they wanted to take that into consideration. And they weren't able to find the bones or bodies of many of the people, and so it would be very difficult for a new building to be put up when people are still grieving. So the feelings of the bereaved people were taken into consideration, and that's why so much time was allotted for the reconstruction of the building. However, they were planning to do it all along, and as soon as they had the plan, it was okay, they just put the thing up. And that's the same with God's plan. As soon as the okay sign is ready, then it's going to happen. So God tells about the start of the end of the world. And as soon as God pushes that end button, what's written in Revelation is just going to happen immediately. So what's the first button? It's us Christians being raptured. Rapture? What's that? There's some people who might the Japanese word sounds like cake. It's rapture in English, but what it means is that just at some point, all Christians are just going to be pulled up in the air to God. And that's what's going to happen next. And once that happens, then, as was mentioned in Revelation, the Great Tribulation will occur, and then Jesus will return, and there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, and then there'll be a final judgment, and there'll be the new world. And this is going to just happen one thing after the next once it gets going. So God has made this plan clear. And what is it that we're to do who understand this? Well, we have certain responsibilities. It says in verse 3, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart." So we're supposed to read it aloud. So I encourage you to do so. It also says to take it to heart. And actually, the person who reads aloud, that's referred to in singular form, whereas who take it to heart is in plural form. And those days, when this was written, this would have made sense. You know, each and every one of us have our own Bibles, right? But in the first century, that wasn't the case. They didn't have such a great, you know, printing system in place. And so in one church, there may just be only one Bible. And they didn't even have the complete one in some cases. And so they would use what they had, and likely the leader would be the one doing the reading. And so the people, of course, couldn't read it, right? They had just took notes or whatever. And that's how people worshipped back in that time. In order for to be read aloud, therefore, of course, it'd be singular form because there's only one person who could do so. But then take it to heart would be plural because everyone could. If you think about Chinese churches, many of them don't want to follow the Chinese government and they want to follow God. And of course, that means they're eligible for persecution. If you go to some of their churches, there may be several hundred people there at a time. But they don't. Not all of them have their own Bible. Even in a place where there's hundreds of people, there may only be one or two that actually have a Bible. And so the person who have the Bible, you know, listen to what's being read, or people who have the Bible read it, and the others listen and take notes. And so that's what it's kind of referring to here. The book of Revelation is a book that is not only for Christians, but it's also a book that tells what's going to happen to those who are not. And why I can say that is because toward the end of Revelation, in Revelation 21:6, it says, "To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And in verse 22:17, it says, "Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of water of life." So anyone who wants it, it means it's indicating they don't have it. And so anyone who hears Revelation and they recall it and they're like, "Oh, I need to prepare and do something," you know, Jesus is like, "Come to me, come to, you know, I'm the one who can help you." In verse 3 in today's passage, it tells about how the time is near, the time here. And this word, the time, is in Greek. Well, actually, the words meaning time in Greek are, there's the word chronos, and in English that translates into clock or time. And so there's this word chronos, and that's like a chronological time. But there's another word in Greek for time, and that's kairos. And kairos is like a situational time. And so to explain this, in other words, like if you eat lunch, right? You eat lunch. You'd ask, like, when do you eat lunch? So some people would say, "I eat lunch at 12 o'clock. There's some people who would say that, right? And they're like, "Well, because of my work and my job, you know, I have to eat 12 and that's the only time I can eat. So I eat at 12. And so that's the chronos attribute of time, because that's what time of day they eat. But some people would say, "Oh, I don't really care about the time. I just eat when I'm hungry." And that's a situational time. So when you're hungry, might not be 12 o'clock. It might be before 12 o'clock or might be after 12 o'clock. You just eat when you're hungry. So that's a kairos. The time that's mentioned in this verse here is actually the situational time, kairos. So when is the rapture going to take place? Well, it doesn't have a specific day and time because it's like when God has the situation and circumstances all in place and whatever, then it's going to happen. So by the way, kairos is actually the name of Greek mythology. You know, Zeus has a lot of kids, and his youngest was actually by the name of Kairos. And Kairos actually had no hair. He had just a little hair in his front. So it's kind of like Cupid, like Cupid doll. So why is it that Kairos was like that? Well, because he's a situational time, and it's like a chance. So when a chance comes, it's like right in front of your eyes, right? And unless you grab it right in front of your eyes, it just keeps on going. And then you try to run after it and try to grab it, but you can't. Why? Because there's no hair on the back of his head. It's only on the front. So you have to grab something when the chance is there, the opportunity is there. In other words, only people who are being prepared will be able to take advantage of this opportunity. That's kairos. So God's plan is already coming into place, and only those who are prepared can actually have a hope for eternal life. We're going to be going through the book of Revelation together for a while. And we're going to learn about Lord God and how He really is reigning over history. I think you'll come to realize that. I think you'll also realize that there is a life or something after this life here. And there is final judgment and that it will happen. I hope that if you're scared or concerned when we're reading through this, consider that a healthy fear. And that it's like just somebody who's scared of a fire, they're going to prepare for it, right? You know, or if you don't want to have a car accident, you'll, you know, drive according to the rules. So we are to prepare as Christians. And if you are, you know, scared about something, then that's actually a healthy concern, because those who don't care about anything should be concerned. So I hope you'll get a lot out of the series on Revelation and really think to yourself, are you really one who is prepared? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for unveiling your plan and allowing us to know what your plan is for the end of the world. Thank you that through Revelation we can learn what is to come. And as we do, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit work and allow us to be able to understand what it is you're trying to tell us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have time of prayer and silence. And I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.